Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, kids. We're inching closer to that game against the Ravens on Sunday. But last night, oh, man, are you kidding? Oh, I mean, he was diving over bodies, avoiding grenades, lifting airplanes, doing whatever it took. A heroic effort by Craig Porter Jr. last night to help the Cavs beat the Heat 130-116. Oh, I can't think of bigger heroism than that, other than the fact that Jared Allen had 30 in last night's game. Nice win for them last night. We're going to talk about that on today's show. We are going to get to the Browns, obviously. We've got some big guests for you. Sad story of Kevin Mackey passing away. We'll talk about that. We'll bring in Daryl Ryder, Nick Costos. We got a full fun-filled show for you. And, of course, the man to my left sporting his Clarion University hat today. For all of you not seeing us on YouTube, his name is Jeff Phelps. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jared Allen can't score at all. Don't need to give him the ball.
His effort was not heroic last night.
What do you mean it wasn't heroic?
According to the head coach last night, he didn't.
Double-double?
Doesn't matter.
A little 30 and 10?
Craig Porter had 11 tips last night. And he tipped the ball from going, you know, one way or another.
He had some odd numerical stat of coming off the bench and numbers and blocks and steals and everything.
Nine assists.
They had some depth on display last night. That said, Andy, sorry, Evan Mobley, rest, 11 games. Donovan Mitchell, rest. Now, they do play tonight, but I hate the whole rest thing in the NBA.
They were down after that first quarter.
And yet the Cavs said, we're going to win anyway. Good for them.
I love it. I do love it.
Congratulations to
them. I don't care about the heroism in that. I do think Craig Porter played a great game last night. That was awesome.
Is heroism playing in a basketball game?
Well, that's what the coach said last night. Okay. I can't. It's not me. Don't look at me.
I didn't say it was you. I just asked a question.
Pointing the finger at me. Look at the thumb.
I just asked a question.
As our friend Tyvus Powell would say, don't point the finger. Look at the thumb.
I just asked a question. I didn't say you.
I just saying. Just want to make sure. How are you today? How are you, my friend?
I couldn't be any finer. Although Highway was shut down for no apparent reason. I can only think it was ice on the bridge.
All I could say is walking into the building through Playhouse Square, life is good, man. I got really hungry before I got here. There were plenty of folks outside filling the air with legalized smoke, and I was like, whoa.
There's some guy out front of the building filling the air with noise coming from the whatever it was he was drinking as he was hopping up and down the street.
I'm surprised they haven't
enjoying himself.
They could. What? Say that again.
This seemed to be some guy who
fired.
Was extremely smashed.
Oh, he was drunk. Okay. Oh, okay.
Smashed, high, whatever combination of which you want.
This is fun. Oh, how about this? Good stuff, all the legalized stuff.
One of our female coworkers was getting ready to walk out the door, and I said, careful there. There's some dude walking down the road, and he was like 10 feet from where she could come out and say, you might want to wait just a minute. Just let's avoid.
I thought he heard you, and then you got embarrassed. You're like, heard me. I feel bad.
Heavens, no.
You did that.
As he was enjoying his day and leaving everybody alone.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You do you, as the kids say.
As I walked into work today through Playhouse Square, I was like, wow. Okay. Feeling
dun,
good.
Dun, 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 dun,
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. There's folks out there feeling fine. Maybe they could rename Huron High Street.
What do you Cheech think? Marin and Tommy Chong.
They'd be loving life. Anyway,
your spirit's alive and well in downtown Cleveland.
That was the walk into work today, which is always important. Dan Menigan is here. Matt Corrales here. Rally time. Jeff, I'm going to start off with the Browns today, and we'll get to Nick Costos at 11, and then we'll talk to Darrell Ryder at 1:20, maybe a surprise guest somewhere in between in today's show. Do you think the offense has been playing to the best of its ability? Let's start there.
The Browns' offense?
Yes.
No. That said, the ability bar is not real high. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't have high expectations for, so I may have high expectations walking through playoff square, but I do not have those same expectations for the Browns offense.
That's pretty funny.
Sometimes I think like that.
Yeah. I don't think that they've performed up to their ability. The bar is so low, Andy. We've been talking about the lack of skill position talent, unfortunately, for way beyond this year. And it just isn't there right now. Now, that said, there are some guys I would like to see more of. And I don't know if they will fill in for the lack of skill position talent. You know, I want to see more of Malachi Corley. Can he do anything? I don't know, but I want to find out. You know, you give him the ball on a jet sweep, he picks up yards. Okay, they tried to throw a bubble screen to him, and Dylan put it in row D. That didn't work. And I'd like to see him get the ball. We mentioned Dylan Sampson yesterday. I'd like to see Dylan Sampson get the ball a little bit more. That said, they're not the primo playmakers on the team. But I'm wondering if you can develop some depth and actually give your quarterback and your offensive play caller and everybody else some weapons to work with.
You know who next man up is in the wide receiving core, right? Luke Floria. Just saying. Sitting there on the practice squad, just a couple steps away, breaking through, getting to the big time.
Is his dad paying you for all the plugs? I hope Luke gets his opportunity.
Well, why can you not embrace, and we have this is 14 years now, why can you not embrace a talented local performer on the Athletic, especially one that went to our alma mater on top of everything else?
I do, but
it's not like Matt Gray's calling me from Mentor and saying, hey, can you please talk about my card? No, I'm not, but good luck to his Cardinals.
I
thought he looked good in the preseason. That's really okay. So did Gage Larvidan.
So did Caden Davis.
Well, and Larvidan and Davis have been rewarded. They are on the roster.
There you go.
And Floria's not. He got hurt. Maybe if Floria doesn't get hurt, he would have been ahead of Davis and Larvidan.
Can't have enough 5'8 wide receivers. We have two now.
Who cares? At this point, it doesn't matter. You know I'm not a big fan of wide receivers.
We're looking for play callers.
I'm not looking for wide receivers who are under 6 foot.
Play something.
Are you done?
No.
I'm not looking for
wide
receivers. I better
not be. We're going to till two.
I'm not looking for wide receivers that are under 6 foot tall. I don't know. If you're shorter than me, odds are.
You want them to match the quarterback.
Oh, that is true.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Maybe
they will be here till two.
Maybe they could change our.
Try the chicken salad.
Boise has blue turf. Eastern Washington has red turf. Why can't we have turf that looks like the yellow brick road? Would that help?
We can have Smurf turf, Andy.
That was Boise. The blue turf was called the Smurf turf. I was trying to do the yellow brick road.
Bring it in.
I wanted it to be unique.
Between Dylan and Gage and Luke, by golly, we'll have it cornered.
Wow. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in your pride for Northeast Ohio athletes.
I'm just disappointed in you. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, you get mad at me when I'm like a champion for this kid because I want to see him play.
I don't get mad at you. I hope the kid becomes a stud.
We're 2-7,
Put him
Jeff.
In the Shedeur Sanders category. I hope he becomes a stud.
Jeff, we're 2-7. Does it really matter at this point? Show us what you got. Let's roll the dice.
Well, that's why I want to see Malachi Corley. Throw him the ball.
I'm okay with that.
Let's get him the ball.
He's still sitting third on the depth chart.
Heck, I want to see Caden Davis. Little bigger guy.
Just jumped up. I mean, talk about next man up. He's a guy that jumped up from the practice squad, right? Back and forth, kind of on the shuttle. And so now he's – but it is pretty sad that this is what we're talking about when it comes to our wide receiving core. Let's look at the big picture on this.
I can't wait to see who they draft in the fourth round next year.
Jerry Jeudy – no, third round, right? Isn't that where you draft most wide receivers?
That's gone so poorly, they're going to drop it down around.
Could you imagine if they drafted one in the second round or the first round? You do have two picks. By the way, I was looking this morning.
I've heard.
Browns are sitting at, number two At least ESPN had them on their in the poll of where they thought they were going to draft. They were 2 and then 17 with the pick they acquired in the offseason. So, but you know, when you look at this offense, though, I mean, have they hit? I don't think they've hit the ceiling because I think Jerry Jeudy finally played. They got him the ball. I don't know if he played well in other games and just didn't get.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
Get the ball, but I do know they were able to use him as an effective piece of the offense last week. Cedric Tillman had, what, 2 catches last week? I wish they could get him the ball more. They did a nice job of evening out the offense between the run and the pass. They didn't turn the ball over. There are all kinds of little steps there that might say, all right, well, is this it? Is this the best of what we're going to see from the Browns offense all season? Is this what we should expect? You know, you've got Njoku and you've got Fannin. They have been effective this season. You've got Judkins. He's been effective. We talked about Sampson yesterday. Can they get him the ball maybe a little bit more? Did changing the play caller make a difference to you? Because I don't think we've talked to the fans about that at all. Did you feel like the offense was better last week? They did get to 20 points. You know, they are 2-7, though.
It had a similar look. The one thing that Tommy Rees did, and he's speaking today, by the way, we'll hear some of the things Tommy had to say coming up in a little bit. But the one thing I think Tommy did do a good job of, and he kind of told us he was going to do that when he had his first press conference after getting that gig, was kind of hinted that he would make sure that he got the ball to the key playmakers, and he did. And Quinshon Judkins had plenty of carries. Jerry Jeudy had 12 targets, 6 receptions. And Harold Fannin. So he accentuated those guys. Now I think you've got to find a way to, oddly enough, keep that going while getting some other guys involved. I mean, it's not like those guys are killing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So as a group, I think you have to kill it. And let's see what you can do. I mean, I know it sounds like we want everything. Well,
no, you know,
right now you have next to nothing offensively. So,
I to be honest with you, I just want a bar, Jeff. I want a bar because there is no bar for the offense. Like, point wise, the bar should be 21. I don't think teams in the NFL average 23 point whatever it is this week. Every week, you know, you're like, okay, what's the average team? Oh, the average team gets 23 points, not the Browns. The Browns are in another stratosphere. Oh, sub 20. Oh, that's your team. It's ridiculous. The bar needs to be raised. Again, it goes back to the question of, you know, is it the offensive line? Is it the talent at wide receiver? Is it the quarterback? Like, we constantly talk about, you know, the same thing over and over and over with this. And then you have to ask, I think at some point, you need to ask yourself, has the offense peaked? I'm going to say they haven't, because I think if you could get more consistency out of Jeudy and you just add some Tillman in there, the offense instantly gets better. Isaiah Bond didn't play last week. And, you know, are you ever going to get anything from him? I mean, he's first stringer. If you look at the depth chart, Bond is on the first string, like undrafted. I know it was a steal. I know. I get it. Your backup wide receivers.
You hope it was a steal.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Your backups are Davis, Larvadan, and Thrash. And Corley, like, who's scared? Like, if we were sitting in a defensive coordinator's room, and they're like, oh, okay, boys, come on in, let's meet. All right, everyone's looking good in our defense room. This is outstanding. All right, what do we fear about the Browns' offense? Crickets. What is there to cover? What do they really need to do other than play base defense? You have one guy, and he's can make hay. One guy, maybe. Judkins. Tell me somebody else. Who are you scared of?
He can't do it on his own.
You scared of anybody else? No, it's crickets. There's nothing there. There's none. And but you know, you talk about it. Is it the players or is it the scheme? Is it the scheme or the players?
Any offense, any defense, any special teams, you need all 11 on the same page doing their job. And you know, that's the coach's job. It's the player's job. It's all of us. So any success you're having as a unit is cohesion amongst all those guys.
You know, it's Jeff's fault. It's Dan's fault. It's my fault. I mean, ultimately, it's me. I'm looking at the thumb. As I point, I'm looking at them. It's the offensive problems are on me. Corrali time, not so much. We'd like to get him up to speed, but we take responsibility for that as a show that the Browns offense isn't working because of him. Kevin was asked in his press conference, how much blame can you put on Dylan Gabriel for the offensive struggles? And, you know, Jeff and I are sitting here, well, do you think the offense has been playing to the best of its ability anyway? I mean, do you think the players or the scheme is causing the problems for the Browns to be 2-7? Or players, scheme? I want to say it's the players. It's hard for me to argue on the scheme. Like, yards after catch have nothing to do with the play. They have, that's just sheer, raw talent. Dropping the ball has nothing to do with the play. Like, the inefficiency of the offense, to me, is more on the players and less on the scheme. What do you think?
Players can make a bad scheme work. I don't know if a bad scheme or if a good scheme can make
bad players
lesser talent good. You know, what you're looking for, Andy, is the balance. I mean, but good players usually win football games. I think more than any other sport, if you're bigger, stronger, faster than the other team, better, you've got a great chance to win.
Especially on the line, which we don't even talk about. I mean, we get into the offense and we want, again, you
on both here, sides of the line.
Yeah. Right? But I think especially offensively, you sit there and you look at it, you're like, oh man, that where was that pass going? Or, oh, I can't believe you dropped that pass. Or, what? Huh? What did I just watch? And sometimes it's on the offensive line too. They don't get called out because they're not touching the ball. That's what it was. And speaking of getting called out, man, Dan Orlovsky was on the afternoon show yesterday, and he had this to say.
I thought early on maybe his first start was relatively impressive, and it really hasn't gotten any better since then. But and I know that people are going to sit here and say these are excuses, but guys, who are we throwing to? I mean, Jerry Jeudy's a good NFL receiver. I don't think Jerry Jeudy's a number one NFL receiver. Njoku's a good tight end. Fannin's been really promising as a rookie, but it's not like this offense, certainly not even this year, has had a lot of perimeter talent to get the ball to. They've had mostly number two or three or number four receivers to throw the ball to, playing in number one and number two roles. The offensive line's been a little beat up. So, yes, the quarterback and the coach have to, like, help that improve. But we live in this world where, okay, we could take this average or below average talent, and if you're an elite coach or an elite quarterback, you're going to make them all pros. That's not real life. And so, yeah, I get the whole Dylan thing, but it's almost like the coach question. Does anyone think that if we took Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, that if they put him in Cleveland, they would be lighting it up this year? Absolutely not. It's they don't have a ton of perimeter talent.
Pretty much what we've been saying. I mean, I don't know that he, you know, torched the entire organization there, but I think we're all on the same page. I don't know how you can expect to win. How can you really expect to be more than 2-7 with the offense the Browns are wheeling out on the field every week? Help me. I don't know.
We said it before the season started. Our tune hasn't changed on this. And no disrespect to the guys who are out there. You know, can they do more with what they have? Maybe. But all I think that they can do more with is give them a chance. You know, again, Cedric Tillman's back. I think Cedric can play. We'll see. I think he can play. So let's get him the ball. You know, do with Cedric what you did with Jerry Jeudy. I think Malachi Corley's interesting. I'm not going to go any further than that right now, yeah. But interesting to me in an offense that's lacking in skill position talent means, well, give him the ball and let's see. Let's see. And more than on a jet sweep.
Desmond's in Elyria. What's up, Des?
Hey, guys. Man, Jeff, as you know, every time I call, I got so much respect for you. You are the person that keeps us grounded, and you're the logical person of every time we try.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
To push a situation.
All right.
And I,
you're setting
and
me up for something, Des.
Yeah, but you understand something. With the way you think is great leadership, but we as fans think with our heart, not our mind. So we want excitement. Now, I'm going to something that you really don't want to hear. I watch some guys break down some film on the college and the pro situation of Dylan. And he can't see shit. Excuse my language. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
He can't see anything.
You can't say those things, Des.
It's all right. Keep going.
Happens again, we got to dump you. Sorry. Oh. Keep going.
No, we lost him.
He's gone now.
He made a mistake. Wasn't intentional.
Desmond's point was Dylan Gabriel is short.
Yeah.
The Browns knew that when they drafted him, and they're playing him. So there you go. Hmm. Is Shedeur Sanders a better quarterback because he's 3 or 4 inches taller? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. But Des, that backs up the point, you know, of everything here. It's like, okay, let's see what you have with a lot of the talent. You're trying to see what you have with Dylan. We've not endorsed Dylan Gabriel as the starting quarterback here.
We haven't endorsed either one of these guys.
No. You know why, Andy? Because neither one of us thinks that either one of them is a slam dunk, you know, starting quarterback in the NFL. We hope they become that. We do. Why? Because we want our team to succeed. We want them to have a quarterback. We want to end the shirt. Yeah. We want to end the debate. We want to know who our guy is, and then we can worry about who's playing left tackle. But right now, you don't have a quarterback who has shown that he's a starting caliber NFL quarterback. We've answered the problem. Do the Browns have one? And again, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's sample size is enough to write him off. Certainly not enough to endorse him as the starting quarterback, but it's not enough to write him off either. And at some point, they might do that and give Shedeur a chance. And if they do, great.
At what point do you write him off?
I don't think.
And what are you writing him off as? A number two quarterback?
No, it's a starter.
A guy that just can't start?
It's a starter.
Yeah, so it would be to you're relegating him to number two. And I think that's what a lot of people thought he would be coming out of school. I don't think that this is a earth shattering.
Well,
he has been given his opportunity. Now, is the talent around him that good? Was the scheme around him?
You know, the one thing, Andy, is that you can look at what a guy did in college. And it's not always the best indicator of what they're going to do in the NFL. And we've seen that with numerous quarterbacks the Browns have had over the years. And, you know, everybody talks about what Shedeur did in college. Okay, well, that doesn't really mean squat. Everybody talks about what Dylan did in college. That also doesn't mean squat. What it means in Dylan's case is he's been able to adapt to some different situations and thrive in those in college. And with Shedeur, what it means is he was able to run whatever kind of an offense they were running in Colorado, playing for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's a bad thing, but this is the first time.
Playing for Pat Shurmur, who just got demoted, too.
But he played for his dad. Yeah. You know, it's the first time in high school, Dion was his offensive coordinator. So it's the first time in his legit football career. I'm not going to go back to middle school or junior high.
No, maybe he was there.
But since high school, the Deion's not his coach. So he's got some things to prove otherwise, and maybe he gets a chance to prove them. We just need to solve that riddle, Andy. And if it's one of these two guys, that's great.
You're 2-7. Like, I keep looking at this going, what are you going to do? And then the next question comes into play. You say, at what point does the defense look at the offense again? You know, I'm just playing for stats. I'm done.
You know,
I don't think they can do that. I think it's way too hard to do that.
And you know what else? With that in mind, you can say anything you want about Kevin Stefanski, about the coaching staff, the talent on the team, whatever. Honestly, I have not seen this team phone it in and not play hard. Not this year, not last year, not ever under Kevin Stefanski. That's something anyway. And it's a credit to the coaching staff. More so, I think it's a credit to the players and having pride in what they do. I've not seen them phone it in.
I haven't seen them phone it in either. I the only thing that I've seen that made me question, and I mean, I'm sorry, I love the way he plays, and yeah, I think he's a great player, but when Miles got upset, what, 2 games ago,
yeah,
when they took him out of the game, and he had 5 sacks. Now, why? Why was he mad? Was he mad because of the defensive performance? Was he mad over the fact that, you know, they had to eat another loss? Was he mad because they took him off the field and took away his opportunity to 6-sack? I'm not saying that's the case, but his frustration kind of made you wonder to even think about that stat question more than you did the game. Whether it's truthful or not, when you pound your helmet down on the ground, you invoke questions of wondering what your motivation was to do that.
Yeah, but does that even matter?
Well, it goes back to the question. Like, the question, I think, is bothersome. And I know we talked about this with Dan before the show. I mean, Dan, you answer this question then. At what point does the defense look at the offense and start to play for personal stats?
I think this game you might see it.
Do you really, Dan?
Yes.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
And by the way, if you're a wide receiver, your personal stats are all based on the quarterback, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the defense, though.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, so what are you looking for? Are you trying to run up your tackling stats? Are you trying to run up?
Well, I'm talking a guy like Myles Garrett instead of maybe setting the edge on a certain route going for a sack to make sure his sack record goes up. Same thing with a Shelby Harris instead of run blocking, all that kind of stuff, doing the dirty work that's needed to get done instead of trying to slip through and get the sack instead of making sure he's taking the 2 blockers on. That kind of stuff. Hmm. Cornerbacks going for interceptions instead of going for pass breakups. Gambling more in the strong safety position. Grant Delpit trying to cheat a route to get an interception instead of playing a deep zone. That kind of thing. Which is the kind of stuff you start seeing for guys going, all right, I'm going to make sure I hit my contract incentives instead of playing within the scheme because we're not going anywhere as a team. I may as well make sure I get compensated as a player.
For being out here. All right, I see your perspective. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. There's another question that I want to ask you about just playing at this level and how your expectations, should they change based on the coaching staff? So I want to get into that too. And you know, again, we asked, at what point does the defense look at the offense and start playing for stats? It's a wicked question.
I don't see it. It's a wicked
question to ask, and I don't know that I think it's too hard. And if you were going for a sack, you're going for a sack anyway. Now, maybe if you're trying to do that and you go a little too hard, you're taking personal fouls, that maybe I could see that, but there's not a whole lot around that. Yeah, you know, one of the questions about, you know, the Browns offense and where you are, and when you look at the wide receiving core, you look at the running back, you know, situation. And, you know, beyond Judkins, you're asking for help, I think, that you want Dylan Sampson to bust through. You want Jerome Ford to bust through. You know, the other Sanders, we haven't had a chance to see, that people were talking about, you know.
Rocket.
Yeah.
Or Raheem.
You know, we haven't seen them either.
Where you want to go.
I do question this, and I'm curious on both your fronts on this. Like, when guys get to the NFL, you know, we always say, coach them up, right? You say that. I say that because I believe, especially in the college
level. Butch Davis, coach them up.
But, and Butch was a successful college coach, right?
Did a nice job.
Yeah. And so I wonder sometimes when these guys get to the pros, how much coaching them up are they actually doing?
Young guys, I think you have to.
I don't know. I mean, I would think that if you, I mean, if you're a coach at the NFL level, and again, you're talking about someone who's pretty much got their master's in, if you're on the offense, you've got your master's in the offensive psychology of a NFL football or a football in general. Like, do you expect these guys to be, you know, minimal training when it comes to, you know, being able to spit out a philosophy and just have them execute it just based on words? Like, I always wonder that too when you see a coaching staff at the highest level. How much of that is actual coaching? And I do think that they'll take rookies aside and coach those guys up to make sure they understand what the NFL is about and to understand what their playbook is for, if, you know, for implementing it. But sometimes I think, you know, you make it to the NFL and you want to coach, you want to plug and play, right? You want to be able to spit out your knowledge and just expect them to know it right out of the gate. I don't know. I wonder what the learning curve, I wonder what the true, everyone will say the right thing, but I wonder what the true learning curve is of a coach who's made it to the NFL and the whole coach them up thing. Because I wonder how many good athletes just made it, you know, first of all, you had to be good to make it there in the first place, right? But then I wonder how many of those guys get there and you meet a roadblock because you've got a coach that doesn't like something about you, or, you know, the coach looks at you and go, oh, the GM is crazy. Why am I going to play this guy? And why should I teach this guy anything? And, you know, because I do think you get into the politics of the whole thing too. And I wonder how much that happens and how often that would happen. And then I always wonder how many players like had the athletic ability, had the talent, but just never hit the bar or hit their apex of their career because they were stymied by a coach that was like, ah, guy's just not, he's not it. He's not the guy we want. And then they, you know, maybe they, the one where it gets me is when a guy who plays for a team and you could tell that they were kind of coached out of it, that they weren't good, they go to another team and then suddenly they start playing better. Baker is one of those guys. Like, I don't know what may have happened here, and I don't know how much they wanted to coach up Baker, and I don't know how much kickback Baker was giving them.
They coached him up pretty well, I think.
Or was that his own natural ability that, you know, or maybe, like, for some reason,
in those
for
situations,
some reason,
Andy,
though, hang on one second, though.
It's a combo
for some
of both.
Reason, Jeff, the Browns offensive think tank thought they could do better.
Sure.
So, and that's their job. So I'm not going to get,
right.
I'm not going to get
so
mad.
So did Carolina, so did the Rams.
So why, although he was in a different situation with the Rams, I mean, he wasn't going to start
He played more than one game, but yeah.
Yeah, but no, he wasn't going to start. His future wasn't there.
No.
We knew what was going on there. But
could have won the gig in Carolina, though.
Like, why did they?
Same with Darnold.
Why did they think we could upgrade? That's my question. Or did they think we can upgrade and maybe we've hit the ceiling with Baker and he can't get any better? We can't coach him up anymore. That, you know,
maybe they just thought he was limited, Andy. I don't know.
And that's right.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, what you just said is what I thought. Same thing. That they thought he was limited and that he hit his plateau here.
Well, and maybe he's hit it in Tampa.
I don't know.
He's doing a very competent job playing quarterback. He's in a situation where, you know, some of his guys are beat up, but he also still has more talent around him than the Browns have.
And he's making the talent that we probably wouldn't even have thought of in Tampa into talent too.
Oh, I mean, I don't
he's
know
been able
that.
To find guys.
Mecca Ibuka.
Well, that's just one guy. I mean, he's had other guys hurt. I mean, I can go through their wide receiver list and ask you. I mean, you may know him just because you go deep into the weeds on fantasy, but I would say Joe average fan.
The key is you know them. Doesn't matter how.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That the average fan might be like, "Oh, who's that guy?" I mean, I'm just saying. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. What's a good word?
Very well.
Oh, good word. Andy Baskin is the good word.
Oh, that's you know. Scary.
Those are two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is two. You're right. Hey, Shador, obviously, the fans are obviously clamoring. You made me listen for a while. Obviously, deal to some of the lack of success by Gabriel, but I think a lot of it's ginned up by some of the talking heads that were on the four-letter network pre-draft and made some horrible predictions that fans have now have unrealistic expectations of what they think Shador can do. I mean, it seems as though some of these folks, when they call up, seem to think Shador is like Shazam, right? He's got some Shador magic. And I guess when he throws the ball, yeah, he's just going to say Shador, and then our receivers are going to catch the Shabal.
Oh, mighty Shador, Shador, Shador. Like Almighty Isis. Remember that one?
Touchdowns, yeah. And we'll win the games with his Shamagic. So I mean,
Your shenanigans.
Yeah, oh, good one. I like Thank it. You. Hey, listen, we've all been around long enough, the three of us. You know, the no miss, save the franchise quarterbacks, Ryan Leaf, number one on that list, you know, that were just flops. And then the guys no one ever heard of that end up having really good football careers. I mean, I just think it's crazy when people get so cranked up of a guy just because he played a few games in college. And I really would love to know how many of these people calling up actually watched every Colorado game. How many of them really watched Shador play every single game? My guess is none of them watched them all, because if you really watched them all, there was a guy that receiving the catches from him that a lot of people said, you know, that guy catching the ball, he's making him look really, really good. Oh, and by the way, he's so talented and physically gifted. He's playing both ways in the NFL. So I think maybe it would be helpful if all of us sort of tempered our expectations and, you know, not think that he's going to save our entire franchise with a few starts this year, and maybe trust the coaching staff. They know what they're doing, because I'm with you, Jeff. When Coach Kevin has had talent, he's made hay when the sun was shining. So I trust the guy knows what he's doing. If he doesn't think Shador's ready, I believe it. I don't think there's some conspiracy. I think it's just garbage. But, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, we'll hope for the best.
Kevin in Cuyahoga Falls, be careful driving around Cuyahoga Falls. Again, tomorrow night, two big playoff games, right? CVCA and Walsh both have home games, big playoff games. Wyoga Lake Road has been packed for 2 weeks in a row, my friend.
It's electric, is all over, my friend. It's excitement for football, my friend.
I can feel it. All right, thank you. Walsh has what? Walsh plays Austintown Fitch, and then CVCA plays East Akron East. I don't know. There's your little. I like sneaking little high school stuff in there. I know Jeff doesn't care, but I do.
What do you mean? I don't care?
You just don't care. You look turned off when I start.
We're talking about the Browns. If you want to sneak in high school, that's okay.
Well, he's in Cuyahoga Falls. I was just telling him that I was giving him a traffic update. Good, like Good Samaritan. Can I be that guy?
Hey, there might be traffic tomorrow night, Kevin. Stay off Wyoga Lake Road.
Thank you. See?
There you go.
There you go. Fair enough. Diane's in Cleveland. Hi, Diane.
Hi, guys. Listen to you guys every day. Love your show.
Thank you, Diane.
Hey, I'm a diehard Browns fan. Have been for ages. But we cannot, this whole thing about Dylan Gabriel, that he is our savior, he is not.
Who's ever said that?
No, I'm just saying that, you know how people, he's going to do this. He's only, played five games?
Yes.
That's just a small sample size. We don't have a good line, offensive line. We don't.
Okay.
I mean, even if you put Shador out there, it's the same thing. I want the Browns to succeed. I hope before I die that it's a championship.
Don't say that, Diane.
You got another 100 years to go, Diane. We can tell. You look so young through the phone, we can tell you. You're in good shape.
Don't say that. But, no, seriously, I want the Browns to succeed, as does, you know, all the fans. We want them to succeed. It's just, I think coming into this year, maybe they had a lot of expectations, you know, really high expectations. I wish they hadn't have traded Joe Flacco. I thought that was a bonehead decision.
You're on a roll. Keep going. We're not arguing with a word you're saying. Keep going.
I mean, it was a bonehead decision. I mean, I don't know. I just want the best for our team. I really do.
So I just you're sticking up for Dylan? Is that what I just want to make sure I got this straight?
Yeah, I am sticking up for Dylan. I'm sticking up for Dylan, and I agree with the last caller. He had me cracking up that Shador is not going to come in there and, like you said, Shazam, just do this. I mean, let's just stick with Dylan, see what happens. I mean, we might be very happy come 7 p.m. on Sunday night.
If we can get to win number three, Diane, I think we'll all be happy. Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
By the way, can we just, maybe it was an original bit to him. The afternoon show has been doing that for a long time. They should do everything to everything. So just so you know.
Dan stole it and made a cute little promo.
Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff. Yes. But let's give the afternoon show their props.
You got to be careful when you do a shh.
Wow. Surprise. Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.